It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we appreciate you being with us. Coming up in 20 minutes, Packers fans were cheering when Rodgers went down. Ha ha! You got what was coming to you. But then, oops, they had to pay the bar tab. That's coming up in 20 minutes. In 40 minutes, advanced analytics. Behind the poll question. Who would you be most scared of seeing in the middle of the forest? A bear? A skunk? Or an angry Jets fan? Skunk is in the news today because the Harrisburg Senators had a skunk delay yesterday at the game, their second of the season. So this Mothership at the Movie story is just incredible. The number one prospect of the Chicago Cubs getting called up for the stretch run here, Pete Crow Armstrong, and his mom, Ashley Crow, played the mom, the single mom, in the movie Little Big League. And Little Big League was a favorite of ours for Mothership at the Movies. Little Big League is the 1994 film where Billy Haywood, young Billy Haywood, has a grandpa who owns the Twins. He's very close to Gramps. Gramps passes away suddenly. Nobody else within the franchise knows as much baseball as Little Billy. He's learned on the lap of Gramps. And Gramps, in his will, says, "You know what, Billy? You're taking over the team." Whoa, 12-year-old, taking over the Twins. And Billy inserts himself into the managerial position. As you might imagine, the Twins go on a miraculous run after a few hiccups along the way. My biggest problem with this film was the veteran catcher, Lou Collins, who is single, and Lou is hitting on Billy's mom the entire film. And Billy doesn't like it because it's not his real dad. Does not like it. Ultimately, Lou Collins has to win over Billy and ask for his mom's hand in a relationship, marriage, I forget exactly. My biggest issue was before the one-game playoff, I believe it was against the Mariners, maybe? One-game playoff, Randy Johnson of the Hill?
So Randy Johnson comes in to close.
Oh,
so
that's
one-game elimination, so they're bringing out all the stops.
Right, the AL West one-game elimination, game 163.
There you go.
Right, Randy Johnson coming out of the bullpen, the big unit in the, out of the bullpen. This is when Lou asks for his, takes his shot and says, hey, you know, maybe proposes. Maybe that's the proposal.
I believe it's just he wants to take her out to dinner.
Dinner?
Maybe it's just dinner. I don't know. I got to watch the movie again. It's one of my favorites.
And, you know, you got to know timing there. You're the veteran presence in a clubhouse that's getting prepared to face Randy Johnson in game 163. Everything's on the line. You can't have your head not in the game there and instead worried about whether you can take out Jenny Haywood for dinner. I did not like that at all from a guy that should be setting the tone inside that clubhouse. Also, it's going to rattle the manager there. Billy's only 12, okay? He's not ready for mommy to be going out on a date for dinner or marrying. It's a proposal.
Yeah, it's a proposal.
He's not ready for mommy to remarry, especially as he's got to worry about Randy Johnson coming to the hill. There's 40,000 people in the building going crazy. You can barely hear yourself think. You've got to face a Hall of Fame pitcher, and you got to worry about mommy remarrying right there? I hated that move. It's a bad move by Lou Collins, and also it's where Jenny Haywood has to say, not now. We'll get to this after the game. Not now, Lou. So at that point, you know, what's Billy supposed to do? Stop the proposal, say no. He's got to go along with it because mommy's happy. And also, I think he's a player's manager. He's a player's coach. He wants one of his most important players to be happy there as well. It's a big moment. He can't stay out of the way, but you're putting your manager, who's a 12-year-old boy, in a terrible spot. I just thought Lou Collins has to be better than that in that spot. Really bad job by Lou. But that mom, Ashley Crow, who plays Jenny Haywood, ends up really having a son who plays Major League Baseball, the number one prospect of the Cubs, who's getting called up. That insane. Now, I will admit, when I saw Cubs prospect, little big league, I originally thought this was the mom of Henry Rowengardner, the pitcher from Rookie of the Year, who I think that was the same summer, Rookie of the Year and Little Big League
came out really close together. It might have been maybe, if it was the same summer, it might have been one summer apart.
Right. That's an Angels in the Outfield time as well. Yeah. That's right around then, 92, 93, 94. Yep. Which would have really blew my mind if she was the mom in Rookie of the Year of a fake Cubs prospect and then the mom in real life of a real Cubs prospect. But Little Big League is slightly different.
To me, it's almost like, you know, a parallel universe. Like, you know, Earth 1 is Little Big League. Earth 2 is Rookie of the Year. Earth 3 is, Angels in the Outfield. Like, they're all in the same multiverse of baseball movies involving kids finding a way to somehow take these downtrodden franchises and take them close to the playoffs, or to the playoffs.
That's right. That's exactly right. The injury to Aaron Rodgers may be the one thing that finally changes artificial turf in the NFL. I don't know, but if anything could, it's this. As you know, I'm an NFL traditionalist. I like the old uniforms. I like playing on grass, yada, yada, yada. I like when coaches didn't wear sweatpants, when they wore fedoras and suits and things of this nature. And the artificial turf thing has clearly gotten better. I mean, field turf is 1,000 times better than the old painted cement at Three Rivers and Riverfront and the Vet and Giant Stadium. And I mean, those were just brutal surfaces to play on. And a lot of those guys that played in the 70s and 80s into the 90s, the toll it took on their knees, I mean, you can't even believe how hard those surfaces were. And I know of that because for two reasons. Number one, I grew up not far from West Point, and Mikey Stadium, home of the Army Black Knights, had that type of hard painted artificial turf, and I had been there multiple times, football camps and just on the sideline and, you know, seeing the stadium. And like, you know, it was really like playing on cement. Maybe your high school had it or a local college had it. It was really like playing on painted cement. But then also, I went to Syracuse and the Carrier Dome had the same type of really hard surface. It was a little bit better than painted cement, but it was really freaking hard. And I was on the sidelines for many games, et cetera. And, you know, just like you're going, how could you be tackled by Lawrence Taylor on this? How could you jump up for a pass and get hit by Ronnie Lott and driven into this turf? How could you plant on this? I mean, it was just, so it's better than that. And now you got these rubber pellets and supposed to have some give and it's a little bouncy and all that, but it's still not grass. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing the people that defend this as safer than grass, because all you're doing is you're just parroting talking points of owners that want to save money. And it's right. It's total insanity that fans would go along with this. It's total insanity because what's it matter to you if owners spend more money for a better field? It doesn't go against the salary cap. It's not saving you a dollar on your ticket or your beer. They're going to charge you the same thing. And these owners just keep putting out information that twists the narrative, that it's safer, it's the same, it's better than it ever was, etc. When after this Rodgers injury, every player is saying, we should play on grass, we should play on grass, we should play on grass. The only reason they don't is just because it's cheaper upkeep. And I can't believe fans and media are so stupid as to echo the talking points of the owners who say, Well, you know, with two teams like SoFi and like MetLife Stadium, I mean, you just couldn't do it. Or, well, with concerts, you know, the turf would be just torn to shreds. Number one, Giant Stadium had grass for both the Jets and the Giants in the 2000s. They didn't always. They used to have artificial turf, but then they changed to grass. And yes, by December it was muddy. But, I mean, it's supposed to be muddy. It's December. So you could do it with two teams. Secondly, what are we supposed to care if the owners want more concerts? Fix the grass. And you say, well, it's cold weather. Does anybody ever watch a Green Bay Packers game? Do you see how crystal clear that green, that grass is? Because they invest money into keeping it up. And in 2023, this idea that, well, that's a lot of football. It's cold weather. You know that the type of hydroponic science we have to have ground level heating, ground level underground irrigation, underground heating, tarps that are heated and breathe and all this stuff. I mean, it's like beyond what you could ever imagine of the 1970s. Like, well, how do we keep the field nice? There are stadiums being built internationally for soccer, which doesn't allow for anything but a grass field, that they're growing the grass underground. They're digging a giant, think of it like a parking garage, under the field and growing the grass inside with perfect temperature, moisture, everything, and then rising it up to the field for play. Every NFL owner could do that. You want to know why? Every team's worth $3 billion or more. If they had to invest a couple of $100 million or tens of millions of dollars, they could do this if it was mandated. They just don't. In the Premier League, yeah, they don't play football. It's not trench warfare. But you're playing 30 times a year on your field and it's all natural grass. We're playing 8 or 9 games. I mean, it's ridiculous that people just parrot this stuff. And I just thought it's... Darren Waller said this the other day. He's a Giants tight end now. And asked about the turf at MetLife. And he said, look, we'd all prefer to play on grass. It's just like, that's the obvious base level here. And we as consumers are telling them, no, it's fine. It's totally fine. The players themselves are saying we would prefer to play all on grass. Now, this is also a player's problem because they haven't mandated it. They should, in the next CBA or every CBA prior, this should have been a fighting point. We only play on grass. In the Premier League, nobody has field turf. Nobody has field turf. Man City doesn't play on field turf with rubber pellets. So the players have themselves to blame. But the bit is this could be changed. And Rodgers' injury might change it. Because, number one, this is as high profile an injury as you can have, with as devastating a blow as it can be, where every player around the NFL wanted to see Aaron Rodgers play, and his cleat might have gotten stuck in the artificial turf. That might have been the problem here, and that's it. So it's dramatic and traumatic, and that is the type of thing that ushers in change. You could have 70 practice squad guys blow out their ACL, but if Aaron Rodgers does the first series, that's a little different, okay? Number two, owners might say, I've invested $37 million in Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to make all of that. And I'm going to risk him tearing his Achilles within the first series? You know, you would hope today Woody Johnson and John Mara are getting together like, do we have to do field turf? Or is there a way for us to go back to grass? You would hope. But this starts with the players. In the CBA, guys, make it a priority, because this is also very hollow. Every time an injury happens and players grouse about field turf, they don't actually put their money where their mouth is. Are you willing to give up something else for the grass? It's not just a favor done by the owners. It'd be nice, but it's not going to get done that way because they're looking to save a buck. If you had any, I mean any, florist, somebody who works with grass, turf mogul, sod farmer, and said, hey, if I gave you a budget of $40 million a year, do you think you could grow good grass at Soldier Field? Well, they do. So let's just say, pick an artificial turf in the north. Do you think you could do it? They'd say, yeah, you give me that budget, I can do that. Yes. Uh-huh, absolutely. But we don't do it. Why? That's because the owners are selling us a bill of goods and people are buying it. And maybe if it's ever going to change, this would be part of the reason it would change. When we come back, speaking of Rodgers' injury, did Packers fans get karmic payback? DA, CBS Sports Radio. It's always a good day. Appreciate you being with us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. You can always watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly, or on YouTube or on Twitch. So a bar in Milwaukee was doing a promotion where if the Jets lost, you could run up a bar tab and the bar would pay for it. We did this story 2 weeks ago. And it was only if Aaron Rodgers started the game. So Rodgers, of course, starts Monday night, and then he goes down to injury, and everybody at the bar assumes, oh my God, Rodgers just went down. The Jets are definitely going to lose. I'm going to run up a huge bar tab because I'm not paying for it. Now, the Jets trail throughout this entire game. The Bills look like they're going to cruise, and these people are just crushing Miller Lights and buying all types of cheese curds and nachos and running up a bar tab. As the game goes on, it gets scarier and scarier because the Bills can't pull away. And then ultimately, in overtime, the Jets catch the punt and bring it back to the house, and the bar goes silent. And we have actual reaction of this because there was a TV crew on hand doing a live report.
We're just going to keep going.
Another condition is Aaron Rodgers must start the game, but the rules say nothing about him having to finish it. So, there's a loud roar when Rodgers leaves the game hurt in the first quarter. The fans say it's nothing personal.
I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to Rodgers, but tonight I'm thinking with my wallet instead.
Still, some say they'll be flying high regardless of the outcome because after Sunday's game, they're in love.
I think we can work around that, especially after Jordan Love's performance yesterday. I'm not too down in the dumps after that, so.
Much. Enjoy.
And the mood has changed considerably. That is because the Jets just won the game on a long touchdown in overtime. You could take a look. This is the reaction from a bar where people are realizing the bar tabs they've been racking up all night, thinking certainly with Rodgers hurt, the bar was going to be paying that tab. It is setting in. They are going to have to go to the bar and pay that tab. That's where we're at.
That is CBS 58 in Milwaukee. The camera crew, the camera guy pans to the left, and there are just Packers fans in stunned disbelief looking at their phone, holding their hands over their mouths like, oh my God, I now have to pay for all the food and beer that I've been crushing all night long. And while I understand Packers fans being salty about Rodgers, and I understand wanting to root against him, when you cheer after he rips his Achilles, I'm no Rodgers super fan, but if you cheer when a guy rips his Achilles, you got karma payback if you're now having to pay for your day of drinking.
And then you double and triple down with your idiocy of continuing to run up your tab. That game was always closed. The Jets didn't win by hitting, you know, the desperation 50-point shot through the peach basket that came down from the top of MetLife Stadium. They almost lost in regulation. Why are people still, at some point, like mid-third quarter, you got to go, oh, we got to slow things down here. But you can't keep chugging all the way into overtime.
But maybe you've done enough damage in the first and second quarter when you thought it was. I mean, look, when he goes down and after that, Bills go up 13-3, I think.
I think 13-3 was the biggest the lead was.
At 13-3, second quarter, it's dead at MetLife. You're seeing Zach Wilson play like trash again. You're probably like double-fisting beers and whatever, ordering another hamburger. And then, yeah, maybe in the third and fourth quarter, you start getting scared, but you've already run up a tab in the first.
You need one of those cash-out options.
Yes.
I'm going to just give you 75 bucks now and I leave. Is that okay?
That's right.
Yeah.
But that is karmic payback, is it not?
100%. 100%. Especially, it's one thing to go there and drink up a storm. You can't celebrate the injury. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
There should be a surcharge.
That was such a good promotion. I wanted to see that all season long. Because if you went to this bar and Rodgers started the game, if the Jets lost, your tab was picked up by the bar. If the Jets won, you had to pay your tab.
Yep.
So every week, a Jets game at this bar was going to be a huge gamble, a big risk. And I love that. And now we don't even get that anymore. That to me is the worst part about this injury.
The ancillary things?
Is that this bar won't have that drama every single Sunday.
Yeah, and is the bar excited that the danger is now gone? That they regret making this after it became public? Because it was a pretty big gamble week to week for them.
It was a gamble, but
now it's just off the table altogether.
I know, but they won. The house won on Monday night, and so they had a bunch of people that flooded the bar and probably spent three times more than they would have spent. So that was a big win.
But it was one win.
It was one.
One win.
I am not a compulsive gambler.
I think the bar is bummed. Because this would have happened 12 different times this season when the Packers and Jets did not play at the same time. Not that the Jets would have lost every game, but you could have had that payout, let's just say, four or five times.
Yeah.
I think this bar secretly thought the Jets were going to be good.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, you Packer fans who think that Rodgers is going to, you know, blow it, coming down and drinking food on us.
Exactly. They figured out of 12 games that the Packers played aside, or the Jets played aside for the Packers, those 12 games, they would fill up the bar that usually only has a couple of people in it for non-Packer games. They would fill up the bar, and if they, at a 12, the Jets went 8-4, you know, they're making their money back because people are spending three times more than what they normally would, and they're packing the bar. They only lose the house four times. But now, you don't get any. You don't win once. Bouncing Baby Boy is in Boise. He's on the DA show. Bouncing Baby Boy, good morning. Hey, Baby Boy. Yeah, you got to. Are you got your window down? Roll your window up.
No, hold on. Okay, is that better?
Yeah, much, much better. What are you doing, Baby Boy?
I'm driving along the highway right now, but I had a little theory on this whole Josh Allen, you know, kind of regressing back into his old ways and not really understanding what's going on. And it's been a theory for a long time, and a lot of people have noticed it, but it's called the Madden effect. And a lot of the players that have appeared on the Madden cover the next year have had really down years.
I haven't heard about this, so you're telling me that cover boys of the Madden video game?
Yes.
That they, the year after, they've had some downturns?
Yeah, look at Lamar Jackson. The year after he appeared, he goes down with his injury. Oh. Tom Brady appeared. And actually, him and Patrick Mahomes, neither of them went to the Super Bowl. Tom Brady retires.
Huh.
I mean, it goes far back as Sean Alexander after the Seahawks Super Bowl appearance. The next year, Sean Alexander gets hurt. He's done.
So it goes that far back, this thing that you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's probably some websites or a Google site that'll show you kind of some patterns that might be really interesting.
I mean, it's almost like it's a Madden cover jinx or something.
Yeah, it's called the Madden Curse.
Oh, the Madden Curse. And so is Josh Allen on this season's cover?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It might not be a real good Bills year this year for that quarterback.
Okay. All right. And this happens uniformly across the board every year for like 20 years. The guy that's been on the Madden cover has been not good the next year.
I mean, there might be one or two that have gone on to have good seasons, but as far as I can remember, it's always kind of happened that way. Calvin Johnson, when he appeared the next year, he got hurt, retired.
Oh.
Gronk, that next year, they didn't go to the Super Bowl and win, and he retired.
Well, not going to the Super Bowl doesn't feel like quite a curse. I mean, still a pretty good season.
And it's not always a curse, but I'm just, if you look at the guys that have appeared on the covers and then go look at the following year, It's either a down year, an injury, early retirement, something like that.
Interesting. Okay. First, I'm hearing of this. Bogues, EJ, something called a Madden curse. Not sure if you've heard of that.
This is a video game, he said?
That's a
I only know Madden, the announcer, the late, great coach.
Now, it's a football video game.
Wow.
Available, I think, on all systems. And John Madden originally was one of the voices or the voice on it, and he was the namesake of the video game, Bogues.
I mean, that makes sense. Be called that after him. Mm-hmm. But that's odd. I mean, you'd think... if there were that many examples that bouncing baby boy had, that this curse would have gotten outside Boise.
Yeah, you think you would have heard of it. you'd think.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Boise, Idaho, getting the facts, pounding the pavement, figuring out what's going on with this. Madden video game and these NFL stars suddenly not being able to play.
Oh,
Madden only got to there a couple years ago. I don't blame him.
It's new. Now,
that's not nice, Botcher.
DA Show quotes, whoever is running that is obviously a very astute person, well-researched. Bouncing baby boy. And our assumption has always been that he or she has been in the Mountain Time Zone, maybe in Boise.
Yeah.
And then Bouncing Baby Boy calls and says, now I'm on the road, as if he wasn't on the road as earlier in the show.
Are you connecting the dots?
Are there dots to be connected is my question.
That Baby Boy could be DA Show quotes?
With that level of research and that level of forward thinking, if there's a short list, he probably should be on it.
Right.
And Ryan Botch, last time he was here, he did his own research, and he thinks that there's a tail off. There's a decline in DA Show quotes tweets later in the show as if he or she has to do something.
Okay.
So maybe Bouncing Baby Boy can transcribe us for 3 hours, but here in hour four, he's got to get in the car, windows down, and drive somewhere with his deep thoughts on Madden curses.
Drenzito says, the fact that you guys have never heard of this is unbelievable. Although I am not a subscriber to the theory, it has been talked about for literally decades. Really?
Huh. Don't say.
Huh. Is that so? So wait a second. You're telling me that there's a video game named after John Madden and the cover boys always have some type of failure the next year. You would have thought I would have heard of this. Comeback Kid says, Madden curse is known outside of Boise, too. I'm in New York. I've heard of it for years. Can't believe you guys haven't heard of it. We're all in the dark around here, I guess.
Look, if BT was here, he would have made
sure. Yeah, we got to get our you-know-what together.
He would have made sure we knew.
Right, EJ.
He would have made sure.
Get your act together! Hey, so you're telling me that there's a video game that's been around for years. And for some reason, every time there's somebody on the cover, the next year they don't do so hot.
So if I turn my PS3 on, I could play this game.
Yeah, that's right.
And make Josh Allen play badly in real life? That's how this works?
No. You don't get to control it.
It's like Jumanji? No?
No. It's almost like a hex. It's almost like a voodoo doll.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we can call it something like the Madden curse. I'm spitballing
the
here.
The curse of Madden.
I'm just making this up as I go. Maybe the Madden curse? I don't know. Maybe that can catch on?
Huh. Learn something new every day. That's one of the benefits of this show. Something you should have known, something others already knew for a long time. It's new to somebody.
And the NFL's got to investigate this. I mean, if you have a video game that is profiting off of your product and it's damaging your star athletes, then, I mean, something's got to be done about this.
Yeah, and I'm normally a big EA Sports guy. Their college football game's tremendous. Played every year. I mean, I can't believe that they'd be behind something like this. Well,
no, you think they love football, right?
Right.
Derek tweets, this Madden bit is great. Please do it for another segment.
Okay.
Daniel tweets, next thing Bouncing Baby Boy is going to tell us Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. Sprint Car Dad, come on, guys. You've never heard of the Madden curse? Get you out. Hashtag get you all out. Wait. So you're telling me there's a widely popular video game, the video game of record for football and sports in general, and that every time a guy is on the cover, the next year he fails in some way, and we don't have a word for this? We don't have a name for this? This hasn't been documented? That I've got to learn about this from Bouncing Baby Boy? The shame of it all.
Wow. DA, this is so... As Bouncing Baby Boy suggested, I Googled it.
How long
can
we do this?
The Madden curse is so old, not young. It's so old that just this summer, our colleagues at CBSSports.com wrote a story wondering if it still exists. We didn't know that it existed. It's so old, it might have died already.
No. Still going on. It's still hot. Everywhere Evan tweets, apparently to our listeners, sarcasm was invented 10 minutes ago. All right, Bogues has headlines.
And very serious stuff. Headlines in honor of Lou Collins, who continues to be unjustly bashed on this show. I can't believe that we're still getting this wrong. We saw it happen in real life. We watched the documentary. Lou Collins, for the record, was a first baseman, not a catcher, DA. Oh. He told of the proposal to Billy. He told Billy in the dugout, bottom 12 of game 163, not before the game.
No, I knew this was at the end.
At the game where Billy was already on board with Lou and his mom being together, so much so that he said, hit a home run, you can marry her, ha-ha. You can marry her if you don't hit a home run either. And then he gave him a tip to face Randy Johnson. He was never shook or overcome with grief
bottom
or disappointed.
12, though, it's
no.
It's bad timing.
No, it's perfect timing because he went up there in a huge spot, they had a dramatic hit for the Twins. It was perfect timing. It didn't rattle Billy. He already used the hidden ball trick. He didn't hit for Ricky Seals. He had done all his magic already. This was the perfect time to do it. You guys are so wrong
he's
on this.
12
if
years
Billy
old.
Billy wasn't upset. How can you be upset?
He's 12 years old. He's rattled by seeing mommy get hit on by his star first baseman in the bottom of the 12.
That already happened. He was already putting Lou on the bench for that, but they fixed it. Lou is back in the circle of trust, back in the family.
All I know is this. If I'm in seventh grade and Mama Amendo is getting hit on by a first baseman, I'm not happy. I'm not
right.
I'm not cool with it. It would rattle me, especially if my team is facing Randy Johnson in a winner take all.
But you are misremembering the chain of events. He was rattled by it earlier in the summer. So Lou didn't play. The team struggled as part of Billy losing his love for the game. But then it was fixed. He had acceptance. He wanted Lou to be his dad.
But what was Lou's stat line in this game? Because we're talking about this one moment.
The last at-bat is the only one that matters.
Right, but I mean, maybe there were other at-bats that happened where he didn't show up. And maybe because he had this thing in his head saying, when we get to the last at-bat of this game, I got to talk to Billy about this big thing that got coming at the end of the game.
Fair thing, but he actually, because I thought I was crazy, because I usually trust what DA says.
Yeah.
I was watching the movie during the last segment, and he walks up to Billy, and the exact line is, I just asked your mom to marry me. Even Lou didn't go through the whole game with anything weighing on his shoulders.
It opens up wounds.
I mean, erroneous wounds.
Nobody
You're
wants...
You're 0 for 2. Madden curse and this. You're just all over the place.
Nobody
Get
wants...
Get your you-know-what together,
Nobody
DA.
Wants mommy to be hit on during their job.
He did at that point. He
also,
did.
A loser move to say, I already asked her out. I asked her to marry, but now I'm asking for permission. I mean, that's the kind of thing you see on like The Bachelor. You shouldn't be seeing this on a game 163 everything on the line.
Lou's a good guy. You guys are so wrong on this. God, good player, better guy, and I'm assuming a tremendous stepfather.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, new NFLPA chief Lloyd Howell's on Team Grass. That's a playing surface comment. Woo-hoo! Howell just released a statement saying switching to high-quality natural grass is the easiest decision the NFL can make. The players want it. Data supports it. Grass is safer than turf. Howell adding, as DA has pointed out, it makes no sense that these same stadiums bring in real grass for high-level soccer matches but can't take care of their actual football players. The Houston Astros
import grass for other things
for Ronaldo
besides the football.
The Houston Astros can't beat the lowly A's, and they can't win at home in general.
And here's the pitch, and that's swung on a deep drive into left, way back. How far is that going to fly? Man, the A's are red hot with a long ball right now. A tremendous shot to left by Langeliers. Two-run home run, 108.3 off the bat, and it's 3-0 A's in the first.
That's Ken Korach on A's Radio. Oakland, a 6-2 win in Houston. They have taken the first two games of this series to stay on 99 losses. The Astros have now dropped 12 of 16 at home. They are 37-37 there for the season, and now their AL West lead is down to a game on the Rangers, who won in Toronto 6-3. The Mariners a game and a half behind after stopping their four-game skid 8-0 over the Angels. The Braves can clinch the NL East with another win in Philly today. They won there last night 7-6-10, and the Dodger magic number for the NL West is 5 after pounding the Padres 11-2. Freddie Freeman, 4 hits, including a homer on his 34th birthday. The Brewers down the Marlins 3-1, and the Mets held off the Diamondbacks 7-4, hours after the Mets reportedly hired former Milwaukee exec David Stearns as their president of baseball operations. GM Billy Epler expected to remain in that role and work under Stearns. Also from the front office, Nats GM Mike Rizzo just got his multi-year extension. Manager Dave Martinez signed his in late August. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Ducks and Finns and Rangers. I'm legitimately shocked none of you have ever heard of the Madden curse. This is a well-known phenomenon. Eric tweets, regarding this Madden curse, I fired up my Netscape and asked Jeeves about this. All it said is 404 page not found. I don't think this is a real thing. Thank you, Eric. Thank you for doing the research for us. When we come back here on the DA Show, Advanced Analytics and Your Epic Fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's Advanced Analytics.
What's the scariest thing to be in the presence of? Skunk, bear, or an angry Jets fan? A skunk appearance delayed a Harrisburg Senators minor league baseball game yesterday. 63% of you say a bear. Skunk got 25%, 12% got angry Jets fan, and DA Show quotes added a D in between the Schwartz family and a free buffet with complimentary bobbleheads. That's a pretty scary situation. Data tells us there are 40 bear attacks in humans worldwide every year. Traditionally, skunks do not move in packs. They like to live alone, but will group up for warmth. And Ryan Botcher, an angry Jets fan who has only broke one TV this season so far. Good. That's a good...
It's progress.
Good rate. One per game, per week. Dixie Landan says, thank God we have a movie from 20 years ago to talk about in this dead time of sports. There's nothing else to talk about this time of year anyway. And on Twitter, or I should say on YouTube, a slide of slaw comments, how can you have anything to do with sports if you don't know what the Madden curse is? It's truly mind-boggling. Dude's more concerned about fedoras and khakis than actual sports. So you're telling me that there's a video game where you play football on the video game and it's named after an old coach of some sort? This John Madden guy? Well, I don't even know what he's ever done. I mean, he's got a football game. He's even alive anymore. And then the players on the cover, they're not good the next year. So it's like some type of like curse? I don't see it. Okay, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Brandon Tierney, BT's Jets rant yesterday was a thing of beauty, and it got us all fired up.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Our friend Brandon Tierney, BT, who handled Tiki and Tierney alongside Tiki Barber for years here on CBS Sports Radio, is now down the hallway as well. And BT's a big Jets fan. And you want to get fired up? You want to be embarrassed about ever doubting the Jets? Do you want to feel humiliated if you feel a tinge of sadness? Well, BT is there to pump you up.
And four plays in, he's done. He's done. Do not tell me today that the season is over.
You're right.
I was so mad about the game, I punched the cashier.
I'm in danger.
Get up! Stop walking around work like a loser!
I found out my favorite porn star is getting married, which kind of put a damper in the goodness that was going on.
Get your act together! We're playing until January!
Every month means a little something, but January is the month that cares.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now! No chance!
And you can bet your bottom dollar that Stone Cold ain't gonna look at the referee and say, I quit. I submit. I've had too much. There ain't nobody. There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
I have Zach's back.
Wow!
I'm not saying Super Bowl.
What's that?
But I am saying playoffs.
Playoffs?
With Zach.
Holy smokes!
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Epic fail, you loser.
Zach. Is why you fail.
Epic fail.
What a day it's been around here. We've had it all. Ed tweets, and I feel like you guys are being sarcastic about this Madden curse. It's real and has been long well known. When Brady was on the cover last time, they had a whole commercial about it with him, talking about the TB12 employees with it. Jeremy tweets, or writes in the Facebook, or the YouTube chat, rather. Yeah, this guy that was the cover of the video game, he was Johann Matterhorn. He has a popular mountain goat wrestling video game. Ah, that makes sense. So wait a second. Let me just get this straight. There's this video game. It's about football. It's got this guy, John Madden, attached to it for some reason. Is he even coaching anymore? And the players on the cover, they have some type of failure the next season. I'm going to have to do some research. We'll dig into this a little bit. Tomorrow is a Thirsty Thursday, so we remind you to bring some toasts to the table. And I really like where this AI football food of the week went week one, because it inadvertently created a controversy here on the show, and you know how much I love those, where I thought I was writing a script for Cap to create for AI Mraz, which was going to be so disgusting, it was laughable. Which maybe I'm missing the mark on what's funny on this show between the Madden curse and the football food of the week, because I thought I created something disgusting, pulled pork on top of peach pie, and both Mraz and Bogues and listeners are like, no, that sounds delicious. So I don't know if I'm supposed to go down the road of actually making a good recipe for AI Mraz or an awful one, but we'll try. Thanks to EJ Stewart, your executive producer today. Ryan Botcher on the wheels of steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. See you tomorrow. The Mothership
disconnects. We are unkillable!
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
What's the scariest thing to be in the presence of? Skunk, bear, or an angry Jets fan? A skunk appearance delayed a Harrisburg Senators minor league baseball game yesterday. 63% of you say a bear. Skunk got 25%, 12% got Angry Jets Fan, and DA Show Quotes added a D in between the Schwartz family and a free buffet with complimentary bobbleheads. That's a pretty scary situation. Data tells us there are 40 bear attacks in humans worldwide every year. Traditionally, skunks do not move in packs. They like to live alone, but will group up for warmth. And Ryan Botcher, an Angry Jets fan, who's only broke one TV this season so far. Good. That's a good...
It's progress.
Good rate. One per game. Per week. Dixie Landan says, thank God we have a movie from 20 years ago to talk about in this dead time of sports. There's nothing else to talk about this time of year anyway. And on Twitter, or I should say on YouTube, a slide of slaw comments, how can you have anything to do with sports if you don't know what the Madden curse is? It's truly mind-boggling. Dude's more concerned about fedoras and khakis than actual sports. So you're telling me that there's a video game where you play football on the video game and it's named after an old coach of some sort? This John Madden guy? Well, I don't even know what he's ever done. He's got a football game. He's even alive anymore. And then the players on the cover, they're not good the next year. So it's like some type of like curse? I don't see it. Okay, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Brandon Tierney, BT's Jets rant yesterday was a thing of beauty, and it got us all fired up.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Our friend Brandon Tierney, BT, who handled Tiki and Tierney alongside Tiki Barber for years here on CBS Sports Radio, is now down the hallway as well. And BT's a big Jets fan. You want to get fired up? You want to be embarrassed about ever doubting the Jets? Do you want to feel humiliated if you feel a tinge of sadness? Well, BT is there to pump you up.
And four plays in, he's done. He's done! Do not tell me today that the season is over.
You're right.
I was so mad about the game, I punched the cashier.
I'm in danger.
Get up! Stop walking around work like a loser!
I found out my favorite porn star is getting married, which kind of put a damper in the goodness that was going on.
Get your act together! We're playing until January!
Every month means a little something, but January is the month that cares.
There is no way that I'm tapping out now! No chance!
And you can bet your bottom dollar that Stone Cold ain't gonna look at the referee and say, I quit. I submit. I've had too much. There ain't nobody. There ain't nobody in wrestling who can make me quit.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger. Those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
I have Zach's back.
Wow!
I'm not saying Super Bowl.
What's that?
But I am saying playoffs.
Playoffs?
With Zach.
Holy smokes!
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Epic fail, you loser.
Zach, here's why you fail.
Epic fail.
What a day it's been around here. We've had it all. Ed tweets, and I feel like you guys are being sarcastic about this Madden curse. It's real and has been long well known. When Brady was on the cover last time, they had a whole commercial about it with him, talking about the TB12 employees with it. Jeremy tweets, or writes in on the Facebook, or the YouTube chat, rather. Yeah, this guy that was the cover of the video game, he was Johann Matterhorn. He has a popular mountain goat wrestling video game. Ah, that makes sense. So wait a second. Let me just get this straight. There's this video game. It's about football. It's got this guy, John Madden, attached to it for some reason. Is he even coaching anymore? And the players on the cover, they have some type of failure the next season. Huh. I'm going to have to do some research. We'll dig into this a little bit. Tomorrow is a Thirsty Thursday, so we remind you to bring some toasts to the table. And I really like where this AI football food of the week went week one, because it inadvertently created a controversy here on the show, and you know how much I love those, where I thought I was writing a script for Cap to create for AI Mraz, which was going to be so disgusting it was laughable, which maybe I'm missing the mark on what's funny on this show between the Madden curse and the football food of the week, because I thought I created something disgusting, pulled pork on top of peach pie, and both Mraz and Bobes and listeners are like, no, that sounds delicious. So I don't know if I'm supposed to go down the road of actually making a good recipe for AI Mraz or an awful one, but we'll try. Thanks to EJ Stewart, your executive producer today. Ryan Botcher on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. See you tomorrow. The Mothership
Disconnects. We are unkillable!